Beginning now the satsang session of Sunday, 26th May 1985. Continuing Savitri, Book 3, Canto 3.
We are in the passage where it describes how all nature was a conscious front of God, infallible, leaping from eternity, the moment's thought inspired the passing act. Even a casual action was inspired, originated by the moment's thought. The right thought arises at the right moment and inspires the right action. All takes place so spontaneously because it leaps from eternity and it is infallible, that is, without error, without mistake. Similarly, a word, a laughter sprang from silence's breast. From the womb of silence arises a word, a laughter, an expression of delight, a rhythm of beauty in the calm of space. All space is silent and calm. In that there arises a vibration of beauty, a rhythm of beauty, and knowledge in the fathomless heart of time. Even in the heart of time, which cannot be fathomed, which cannot be plumbed, there is the knowledge of truth. All this to show how, whether it is a word or a laughter or an action or knowledge or beauty, all spring spontaneously, without error, in a natural way, as nature is a conscious front of God. All turn to all without reserves recoil. In our world, even when we turn to others fully, there is some reservation. There is something which holds us back, which preserves our sense of division, our sense of separativity from others. That is what he calls the reserves recoil. But at this level, all turn to all without reserves recoil. And how? A single ecstasy without a break, pervading all, uniting all, there is one ecstasy without interruption, without break. Love as a close and thrilled identity. The acme of love is identity, oneness. Here it was so close, so full of thrill in the throbbing heart of all that luminous life. Each one had this love for everybody else. That is why he says this life is luminous, and in the throbbing heart of that love binds all into a thrilled identity, a universal vision that unites. A sympathy of nerve replying to nerve. Each nerve has its own individuality. So in each person there is a good coordination, perfect coordination between nerve and nerve. Hearing that listens to thought's inner sound. Normally, the physical hearing listens only to the outer sound of the word. Here, it is in tune with the inner sound of thought. That is, even thought has a sound. Necessarily, it is an inner sound. Hearing that listens to thought's inner sound and follows the rhythmic meanings of the heart. It is the hearing that follows the rhythmic meanings, harmoniously vibrating meanings of the heart, messages of the heart, a touch that needs not hands to feel, to clasp. At our level, we can't speak of a touch without hands, without some kind of physical clasping. But here, the touch does not need hands in order to feel the other person, to clasp the other person. It has its own way of touching and clasping. All these, universal vision, sympathy of nerve, hearing and touch, subtle touch, were there the native means of consciousness. Consciousness did not need our physical faculties or instrumentation of the senses. It functioned through these faculties without physical sensations. And these native means, original instrumentations of the consciousness, heightened the intimacy of soul with soul. Each soul could thus commune directly with other souls without the necessity of using the instrumentality of the senses. A grand orchestra of spiritual powers. The various spiritual powers were not working at cross purposes. They were all working in a coordinated way, constituting an orchestra, a diapason of soul interchange. Diapason is a grand concert of sounds, harmonies. Of soul interchange, the interchange between soul and soul becomes like a well-coordinated musical notes, harmonized, a oneness, deep, immeasurable. In these new worlds projected he became a portion of the universal gaze. Ashwapati, who has been given an entry in these new worlds, he becomes a part of the one universal gaze vision, a station of the all-inhabiting light, a power station, so to say, of the one light which envelops everywhere, a ripple on a single sea of peace. All is an immeasurable sea of peace. And there this individual called Ashwapati is a ripple. His mind answered to countless communing minds. There were innumerable minds, and each was communing with others. And his mind is able to answer, to respond to other minds. His words were syllables of the cosmos speech. There was a universal speech movement, and his words were only syllables of that. That is, he was one with the universal consciousness, one with the universal power of expression. His life a field of the vast cosmic stir. He felt the footsteps of a million wills moving in unison to a single goal. Though there were a million wills in that world, all were moving together to a single goal.
And the footsteps of those wills, he feels in himself, as if they are treading his being. A stream ever newborn that never dies, caught in its thousandfold current's ravishing flow. It is the consciousness force that is pictured as a stream that is ever fresh,
ever newborn, and which never dies, caught in its thousandfold current's ravishing flow. It is a beauteous flow which has a thousand waves with its eddies of immortal sweetness thrilled. Each eddy, each wave of this current is thrilling with an immortal sweetness, undying sweetness. He bears this stream. Ashwapati bears this stream coiling through his members as they passed. That universal stream passes through his being, through his members. Members means limbs. Calm moments of interminable delight as they pass. In spite of that endless delight, there is a certain calm. The bliss of a myriad myriads who are one. He feels in himself that delight of the innumerables who are really one. In this vast outbreak of perfection's law, in this world, there is a law of perfection, fully manifested, and that law, imposing its fixity on the flux of things. Things are in a flux, in a flow, but this law of perfection imposes upon the flux a certain fixity, a form of pattern, and he sees here, as a result of this perfection's law, imposing a fixity on the flow of life, on the flow of the consciousness force, he sees a hierarchy of lucent planes, a gradation one over the other of luminous planes of existence, enfeoffed, subordinated to this highest kingdom of God's state, all the luminous planes of existence, O illusions, are subordinated to this highest kingdom of God's state, of God consciousness. Attuning to one truth, their own right rule, each one is governed by a rule which is right. And still, this right rule of each is attuned to the one truth that dominates every other truth. Each house the gladness of a bright degree. Each form, each being embodies a bright gladness. Alone in beauty, that is typical, has its unique formation of beauty. One is not like any other. Alone in beauty, perfect in self-kind. The mold has been perfected. Each is perfect in beauty, in the kind of, in the type of the self, that is nature. An image cast by one deep truth's absolute, and each one is truly a reflection, an image of one deep truth's absolute, the maximum, the highest absolute, reflects itself in these million centers, married to all in happy difference. In the formation, there is a happy difference from each to each, but it is not a conflicting difference. It is not an uneven difference, but a happy difference. They are happy to be different from each other so that they can enjoy each other more effectively. If each was like everything else, there could be no enjoyment. Each gave its powers, each plane gave its powers to help its neighbor's parts. Each organization lends its powers to help its neighbors, but suffered no diminution by the gift. By giving, it does not lose. Nothing is diminished. Profiteers of a mystic interchange. There is a continuous and a mystic interchange between them all, and each one profits by that interchange. They grew by what they took and what they gave. Each plane, each world grows by what it gives and also by what it takes. All others they felt as their own complements, because each one did not look upon the others as rivals, as competitors, but as complements. Complements, that is, together they are necessary for each other to make up the whole. One in the might and joy of multitude, all these felt one in the might and joy of multiplicity. Even in the poise where oneness draws apart, even in that status where oneness is predominant, where the one reality draws itself from the many, to feel the rapture of its separate selves. If it is always lost in the many, it can't have that full rapture. But when it withdraws and looks towards the many, it feels the rapture of its separate selves. Even in that poise, the soul, that is the one, in its solitude, yearn towards the all. The oneness desires intensely the many, and the many turn to look back at the one. The multitude looks back at the unity, an all revealing, all creating bliss, seeking for forms to manifest truths divine. Here is the secret of creation. There is a bliss which sustains everything, which is at the origin of everything, which is the womb of everything. Now, it is seeking for forms. Why? In order to manifest divine truth. Manifestation requires forms. Aligned in their significant mystery, that bliss puts together, joins together, coordinates in their significant mystery the gleams of the symbols of the ineffable. The reality is ineffable, indescribable, indefinable, but there are symbols which signify that reality, and these symbols gleam, shine. Now these gleams, rays, luminous rays of the symbols have been aligned, put in relation with each other, and they blazoned like hues upon a colorless air, shone like so many colors, hues upon an air that is colorless, on the white purity of the witness soul. The soul is witnessing, and it is on the bosom of its white purity. All these symbols have been etched out like so many hues. These hues were the very prism of the Supreme. Prism, you know, has so many colors.
It means they were directly emanated from the being of the Supreme, His beauty, power, delight, creation's cause. The cause of this creation were His beauty, power, delight. They were symbolized in the various hues, colors. A vast truth consciousness took up these signs. Now these signs are there, these symbols are patterned on the white bosom of the witness soul, and a Shakti of truth consciousness takes up all these hues to pass them on to some divine child heart. That is, there is some being, some divine entity which wants to play, create and play. And this truth consciousness, this supramental power, takes all these hues and hands over to some divine child heart, innocent, full of joy, wanting to have the adventure and the play. And that child, what does it do? That looked on them with laughter and delight, the laughter of creation, the delight of anticipation, and joyed in these transcendent images. Images, these hues, these colors, which symbolize certain truths of the infinite, it takes great joy
in these transcendent images, living and real as the truths they hold. These images, these symbols were as true as the truths which they represented. Because they were images and symbols, they were not less true, they were not less valid, they were as real as the truths embodied in them. The spirit's white neutrality at this stage, when the whole thing is being handed over to the child divine heart, the spirit's white neutrality, witness silence, became a playground of miracles, a rendezvous, playground, meeting place for the secret powers of a mystic timelessness.
Eternity.
It made of space a marble house of God. The spirit made of space a marble house of God. It poured through time its works of ageless might. The spirit extends space as the house of God, and through time it pours its works of ageless might. Unveiled, seen as a luring, rapturous face, it removed the curtain and showed a rapturous face, alluring, attracting. The rapturous face is really the face of the wonder and beauty of its love and
as the manifestation gathers force, the impersonal love and the impersonal force takes on a personal form. The eternal goddess moved in her cosmic house, sporting with God as a mother with her child, the Shakti, who has handed over all the sinews of creation to that divine child heart, now sports with God as a mother with her child. The God of creation, the God who is creating, is like a child to the divine Shakti. To him, to the child, the universe was her bosom of love. His toys were the immortal verities. Verities means truths. All here self-lost had there its divine place. All that has lost its identity with the self on earth had there its divine place. Everything was in its right place. The powers that here betray our hearts and err were there sovereign in truth, perfect in joy. Here they have gone amok, gone wrong, but there each one has recovered its truth, its joy, masters in a creation without flaw, possessors of their own infinitude. That is, on that height, all these powers have exercised their full sovereignty in truth. They are masters without flaw, possessors of their own infinitude. It is only when things come down in this world of ignorance that deformation takes place.
Here ends the satsang session of 26th May 1985.